to Just the Case, episode 49.
Round two.
I'm your host, Just the Case, and I wanted to get together with Ponch a little bit today, and we kind of jostled our schedules around a little bit, so we wanted to just get together real quick today, about 20 minutes or so, and we're going to try a different format where we have a shorter podcast, and, you know, and I do have some, like, schedule constraints today, so I will have to keep this kind of brief today, but there's a lot going on, and I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the Star Trek shorts I saw, because I have the CBS All Access app, and before we do that, I just want to get in and do a few shout-outs to the McSauce podcast. I'd like to Chadwick Stewart from the Element of Surprise podcast. I'm going to be on that show at some point here in the near future. Fireside Chat, Ryan McCormick. I'm going to be guesting, and I think next week I'll be on that show. We're going to do kind of a special edition thing on there. I'm going to be on vacation a week after that, going to the mountains for a few days, so that'll be nice. Yeah, and so it'll be nice to finally have a vacation, because I haven't had one since, like, last year, so that'll be cool. And then, so we're going to try and maybe do these a little shorter in the future, so it's a little more of a bite-sized thing. Why do we say that?
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. There's a lot of content coming out via CBS for Star Trek, and I watched a couple of the shorts that they have. They have the Star Trek shorts, and you have to have the CBS All Access subscription to watch these, but one of them was hilarious, and they're kind of like a build-up to what, like, the shows are going to be later on, and they're kind of like prequels, from what I could tell, origins, in a way. Like, last year, we saw Saru, we saw his origin, we saw, there's a couple of oddball ones, there's, like, a kind of an AI program, there was a guy that ended up on, the Discovery. And it's, like, way in the future when, like, everybody's gone, like, there's no crew left. He ends up on there, and, you know, there's kind of a weird ballroom dance sequence. It was kind of strange, but it's not one of my favorite ones. But we got the new Picard series coming out, and there was a New York Comic Con trailer, which I thought looked really nice. And a lot of people have commented how Picard looks really frail, because there's a dream sequence in which he's wearing a Next Generation uniform. And I did notice that it's not verbatim like the original, maybe like a season 3, season 4 uniform. It seems like the dark segment of the uniform, instead of coming about right here, it goes like maybe a little bit down to here. And eventually, I'll get a little better and get a program where I can start putting snapshots into the things that I'm talking about on these videos, but it's kind of like there's a little bit difference in the uniforms, which is a minor thing. Who cares? You've got some podcasts that have really taken these trailers and analyzed every sequence of these, like every second almost. They're like, oh, in this scene you have this ship, and there's a Romulan warbird here. It's a 23rd century Romulan warbird. Look, who's this? And they see this in the background as a shuttlecraft, and it's like, I guess those would be Easter eggs. It just depends on what your interpretation is and how deep you want to look into things. But I'm the kind of person, Ponch, I don't know about you, but I tend not to do that. I'm a very casual viewer of content. I just don't have the desire or the drive to sit there and analyze every little thing. And people that do, I think it's great, because if I want to look at something and they've done all that work, that's great. But I'm just not the kind of viewer, and I'm not criticizing anyone who does. I'm just not the kind of viewer that does that. I'm just not me, you know.
Yeah.
If I've seen something several times, you'll start picking stuff up. But usually, if you've seen it several times, it's probably pretty good anyway, and you're going to want to watch it again. So if it sucks, well, then who cares? you know.
Yeah, it's funny because I was thinking about that, not necessarily about the Star Trek, the shorts or Picard, but just yeah. how like things leading up to its release, people are like trying to dig up every single little bit of information they can, but then once that event happens, it just kind of like not hear much about it anymore. Because like kind of like, okay, so for example, like Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con was last weekend, and you have literally an entire year of like build up and anticipation, and you know, or like like the Joker movie came out actually last weekend as well. And,
you know, the Joker movie.
So you have all these people like over analyzing trailers, trying to figure out, oh, is Bruce Wayne going to be in it, blah blah blah, and then you know, once that thing happens, it's just kind of like, all right, well, on to the next thing, you know. So it's kind of like with the Picard thing. Yeah, he does look frail, but he's what, 80 years old now, late 70s.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those comments that it goes without saying. It's like, who cares? That's not the point. You know what I mean?
So,
he looks great.
Yeah, I mean, I get, like, certain genre websites need to have content to make articles about, but at the same time, it's like, just enjoy for what it is, and when it does come on, just enjoy it, sit back and enjoy it and write, and I don't know. Yeah, like you said, I'm not one to...
Yeah.
Unless... I don't know. Sometimes I'll catch myself doing that, but maybe it'll be like a one-time instance, and then after that, it's just kind of like, all right, let's watch it already. Try and figure out what's going to happen in it.
Yeah, I know. It's good. Yeah, exactly. It's like, let the show play out, and then people, and it's not just Star Trek. It's Star Wars and other properties that there's fans that scrutinize every little thing, and it's like, just watch and see what happens, because then you'll be like, well, you had all these theories you cooked up, and then none of them are true. Or maybe one might be close to what they ended up doing in story. And
right.
It's like I knew that, you know, there was one guy that had this whole theory worked out for Darth Maul. Never happened. that was just a clone that got cut in half. I'm not going to go back down an episode one trail, but I'm just saying that with fans, there's some that really, they really spend a lot of time, and it's like, get a life, you know? Just watch the film, enjoy it, or the TV series, whatever, and just let it play out and see what happens. And you know what? Everyone's going to have their opinion, but it doesn't make it fact. Opinions are not fact, you know, and it's just perspective, I guess. And people, I think a lot of times disappointment is rooted from expectations being so ridiculous that, yeah, and it's... So, take... into consideration the fact that we're here now in 2019 and production systems are different, the developmental teams are different characters, it's a different time and place. If you don't see Patrick Stewart playing Captain Picard standing on the bridge of the Enterprise D, you know, whether it be a dream sequence or they decide to do some weird story arc where they go back in time or something, if you don't see that, well, don't throw the whole series away. They want to go a different direction. That's just the way it is. And I think it'd be great. I like any kind of Star Trek content I can get if it's good. And I, you know, like when we had the first season of Discovery, it was like, it was okay. It was different. I really had to watch a few episodes to get into it. There's elements about it I really liked. And there's nothing I really hated about it. Am I going to go and say that it was the best thing ever? No, not even close. Not even close. Season 2 was a totally different feel, though. And it was more in line with, I think, where they wanted to go with character development. And I'm interested to see what Season 3 is going to bring, but I think everybody's really clamoring for the Picard series. I think that's going to steal the show. I think that's going to be a flagship show if there ever is one for this round. And I also think that there's some other content coming out that's on the Disney Plus app that I signed up for. I got in early with that promo that they were doing. I think it came out in August. Mm-hmm. I am so looking forward to that Mandalorian series. Oh my gosh. I could give two rips about any new Star Wars film they're doing. I want to watch that show. That's going to be good. That has me intrigued beyond belief. Anything passing, even episode 7, that's got me. If there's anything to be excited about Star Wars that I've been excited about ever, it's that series. I'm not kidding. I've always enjoyed the Bounty Hunters, Ponch, and it's Mandalorians, I mean, top notch. I mean, it's going to be great. I think it's going to be great. And I know I've heard people say, oh, episode 7 is going to be great. I'm excited. That's great, but I wasn't excited and it wasn't awesome. It was okay, you know, and I've shared the things I didn't like about the film on previous episodes. Go back, watch those in the archives, but it's like, yeah, I think anything's going to be better than 8. I think that they're going to put out at least in a TV format, and I think it's better that they're doing more of a Bounty Hunter series than they would be doing a straight ahead Star Wars series, because at least it's focused. And I think you could do a better storyline when you have a focus. You know what I mean? And it's a great thing, because I get so sick and tired of fans that complain that there's no lightsabers involved. Not everybody can be a Jedi in the Star Wars universe. Not everybody can, you know, float a Corellian pear across the room and, you know... You know, it's you get sick of that. I want to see another aspect of the Star Wars universe, and this is going to be great, and I'm very excited about it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but, you know, I don't very often get excited about things before they happen. I have to be in the moment, but this is one, at least story-wise and production-wise, from what I've seen, looks very, very crisp. And what do you think about that, Ponch? Have you seen any of the trailers for the new Mandalorian series?
I haven't yet, but I've seen a few. Well, at Comic-Con last weekend, the little bit of time I was able to walk around the show floor, I saw what exhibitor was it? It might have been Sideshow. I don't remember, but they had some Mandalorian stuff on display, and the little bit I did see, like the Mandalorian armor stuff, looked pretty cool. But yeah, that's. As much as I've seen for that, I haven't seen any trailers yet, but timeline wise, I think it takes place between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Is that the timeline, or
I'm not sure. I'd have to go look. For someone who's excited about the show, it's surprising how little. I watched the trailer once. I thought it looked really great. Takes place. And I've been as like, you know, Masters of the Universe has been trailing off, I've been getting more of the Star Wars Black Series, kind of filling in the characters that I want. And I found some really good ones, and my wife has been kind enough to help me find some at a good price. Hey, what about this one? Yes? Hey, I'm going to get this one. Oh, no, because it's getting close to Christmas, so I'm kind of hitting a few nerves. So I'm going to back off just for a few months. But no, you get it for a really good price, man. Under $20. Some of them are like $10, $12. I'm like, top-notch stuff for retail. And what I didn't realize was that, like, some of the ones you can find online that are actually a really good price, I'm like, I don't remember seeing this in stores. Well, it's because it was only available through an Entertainment Earth or something of that nature. That's why you never... Like, I'll show you. I've got a Zookas. Again, I like Bounty Hunters, and... I got a couple. Here's Zookas. He's actually got a cloth robe.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he's pretty good detail, and he was only like $14 shipped. And he's great. He breathes ammonia. He's got a special... I know, I love that stuff. Just like Benzites from Star Trek, they have to have that ammonia breather thing or whatever it is. And then this Mace Windu. He has a little trouble standing up, so I use the WWE platform to put him on. And he's great. Cloth robe. Ponch, they finally made an action figure of you when you shave your head. There he is.
Likeness is getting there, man.
It's getting there, and it's pretty nice. Now, what I was disappointed to find out was that I was hoping they would have had the entire Episode 1 Jedi Council in the form of a 6-inch Black Series. That is not the case. What I was like, I want Plo Koon, I want Kiedu Mundi, I want all the... Kit Fisto, of course. You gotta have Kit Fisto. But they haven't made him. Because I found a website, I don't remember the name of it real quick, but off the top of my head, but I found a comprehensive visual checklist of all of the 6-inch Black Series figures. So, and a lot of it is, I would say the two most prominent variant figures or different versions of the same character would be Leia and Rey. And probably third place would be Poe Dameron. They've done so many different versions of these characters, and it's, I did also get, so here's like a couple versions. A lot of fans would probably hate me because I've got Leia with Kylo Ren on one of the dioramas because I don't care. And they go lick a toilet seat if they got a problem with that. And my figures do what I want. And so it's like, yeah, this is, she's got the hairdo's really neat on that. They did a great job with the likeness.
Yeah, sculpt's pretty good on that. Holy cow.
Yeah. And then the other one I just found, let me get this. This is the other one. This is the Empire Strikes Back Leia. I think she's called like the Hoth Leia because she's got the different kinds of, I wish the stupid camera would be sharp enough, but there it is. And she's got like that scope she was using on the Millennium Falcon when she was trying to fix it, and then Han got all fresh with her. She comes with this blaster. And then, like, the goggles, obviously, the goggles will come off. These are, like, the ones that Han Solo used. Didn't he wear these, too, when he was working on the Falcon? He was welding something, and it's when the Falcon was hitting something, and they end up going in that asteroid. They hit that asteroid belt, and he's kind of got those goggles on. So I thought that was an interesting accessory. But, yeah, that's kind of what's going on. And I do have one more thing. One more thing is the... it's my latest acquisitions. This is a Amazon exclusive. You know, look, it's grandma when she gets up in the morning, hasn't had her coffee yet.
Yeah, right.
You know? Yeah. Come here, little boy.
Free makeup.
That cackle. Well, he's got hands where he can do the force lightning, and that's how I got him standing up. But it was like it's three swappable heads, and then you can swap the hands out for no lightning coming out of them. So the head just pops off. Cloth cape, you know, the hood and everything. It's great. Which this is it's an Amazon exclusive reissue of the original. I think it's a wave two, I think, I think it's wave two, which had the blue, kind of the blue windowed box, like the blue design on the box, because I think wave one was orange. But they did it like the windows on the Death Star, where it's like those oblong kind of cigar-shaped kind of design on the box. But anyway, and it comes with a chair.
Oh, that's cool.
So the chair is really nice. Yeah, he can sit in the chair. He's fully posable and stuff. And this little, it rotates. You can rotate it. So yeah, again, guys, I would encourage you to watch the YouTube version of this because it'll be put on the podcast YouTube channel so you can see what this stuff is. And, it's really great. Too. All the faces I make too. Yeah, you can see my mug on here and Ponch as well. At least Ponch got a haircut. I have to use hairspray and a brush so I don't look like Bill or Frodo Baggins when I'm on here.
Yeah, please.
But yeah,
the mullet you were talking about before recording.
Look at that. Look at that curl. Yeah, that's good. That's Ricky Skaggs. That's my whole. My whole head will look like if I don't if I don't brush it. So yeah, I use my wife's like Aquanet or whatever it is. But anyway,
VO5.
I got you in a spray, so that's great, you know.
So speaking of toys and the Comic Con last week, again, I wasn't able to go much in the show floor because, well. costume took a lot longer than I expected to take to finish. But the little bit that I did see, you know how I collect those Dragon Ball figures?
Figwarts or whatever they are?
Yeah.
Figwarts, whatever.
I maybe talked about it on an episode a while ago, but so I think we're talking about like our dream toys or something like that, or like something we'd like to see released. And I was talking about if they would release like a gift set of like all five members of the Ginyu Force.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. And if they have them posed in like their like the intro, like the group intro pose. That'd be awesome.
Oh yeah, where they're like dabbing before it was cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So this was only on this was on display, but I think my dream will be hopefully it'll be realized soon. I took a picture of this. Hopefully it'll show through. But
that's fantastic. And that, now is that ship Frieza's ship behind her? Is that like an actual? Is that something that's already been released or
no? It's something they made for display only for the show.
Oh, frig! I'd love to have that.
But
those jackals.
But just the fact that they made the Captain Ginyu is only for display for now. But lately, whenever they have like figures like this on display, eventually they'll be, they'll actually be made. But
They did that for the prototypes. Yeah,
essentially, yeah. Like, display prototypes. They also made this, or they also had this on display, too.
Oh, nice.
So, what's cool, though, is that...
I'm trying to remember, that's when a Saiyan would, as long as they have their tail, if they saw the moon, they would turn into that version, and that's a Super Saiyan. What is the name of that form again, Ponch? Because it's been 20 years since I really was into it.
Basically... Grade 8, like Oolong, whatever they call it.
There you go. That's the one. Yeah.
But what's cool about this one is that this is the Vegeta's version. So I guess when he first comes down to Earth and fights Goku, this is either he gets his
neck. Yeah, those are great.
Yeah, and what's cool is that this one, granted, they didn't have any figures displayed with it, but this is to scale with the other figures. So this thing is massive. And I don't know if you can tell by the foam, but you also... Oops.
So it's to scale with the other ones. And then the other ones, technically, are they 5.5 inch or 6 inch? Scale-wise.
Depending on the figure. Like, say Goku's about 6 inches. Yeah.
So roughly 6 inch. Yeah, it's going to be to scale with a 6 inch figure, so it's bigger, much right. bigger. So like now on the cartoon, it would have been really huge.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, like, if this was, like, actual size, it'd be as big as that Unicron that they're trying to...
Exactly, yeah.
Which would be pretty cool, actually, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah, hopefully they'll release that gift set, or at least have each individual member made, and then... Because, like, you were talking about before, like with the Star Wars lines, whether it's a Black Series or a 3.5 inch... There's like tons of Lukes, tons of Leias, tons of Reys, and Poe Dameron. So like with this line, there's so many Goku figures, and then Vegeta is another like the second most made character. So it's like why not branch out and do other lesser known characters?
I'm all for that. Like, remember how they never made a figure for? Maybe they have since then, but. Remember, Berter! It was the little short green guy. They never made him for the Ginyu Force. They made Jace, Captain Ginyu, of course. And I'm talking like the old Funimation toys. They made, who was the Raccoon? And then who was the green guy? Or the blue guy, the big blue guy. There was Berter, Jace. They never made Berter, but they made Jace... Raccoon, Captain Ginyu, and who was the blue guy? The blue, he's kind of had black.
My mind is.
He was huge.
Yeah, I'm going to look him up right now because I can't remember names. My mind is kind of farting dust right now.
Ha! But at any rate, yeah, Birder was the only one that did it because he had that move called Time Freeze.
Yeah.
And he could, you know.
Okay, so you have Captain Ginyu, of course. Birder is the big blue guy.
The blue guy. Okay.
Jace is the pink guy.
Orange.
Yep. Yeah. Salmon.
Salmon!
Raccoon is the,
red-haired guy. Like,
you know, regular, you know, white skin with the red hair.
Red hair? Yeah.
Yeah, and Goldo is the green, the short green guy that you were talking about.
Goldo, that's him. Okay.
Yeah. So, if they release that gift set of my dreams and that pose,
they should do the one where there's roses around them. Remember how it was just kind of it would make them not tough. They'd show that on the cartoon to make them not tough anymore. It was awesome.
That Japanese humor.
If they made that, you know, just take my wallet. Just, you know.
Yeah, I think I'd probably do that as well. I will tell you, so on some other news, we talked about Super 7, kind of what they're doing. I think they're going to lose the license this year for MOTU because Mattel wants to go full steam next fall with the Masters Origins line, Master Universe Origins, which looks awesome. That's going to be retail, too, so which is a nice thing. It's going to be retail. And they said that they were going to be doing a lot more than just that. And that was per, you know, San Diego Comic-Con, of course, which we didn't really do a podcast this last summer, not too many, but at least not toy-related. But so I signed up for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, what do you call it? The term they're using for all having all the accessories, Ultimates. I signed up for the Ultimates. So I got a notification from Big Bad Toy Store that because I order all my stuff through them because that way it's like my money's not tied up because, you know, without having something to show for it. I pre-order through them, and I got a notification from them that they're not only going to include the weapons rack, unpainted, but now they're also going to include all those accessories painted. So everyone will be happy. And
I read about that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm all in on that line. I originally was not going to get them, but I'm thinking with Masters done and the Black Series kind of shallow right now with what I want out of it, I think doing that Turtles line would be great. And it's going to be far superior to anything else that's out on retail. I mean, I don't like those new Turtles figures are crap. They look terrible. The ones that from the newest cartoon, they look like garbage. They're all kind of they're too animated looking. I just don't like them. So, but then I saw Super 7 was going to be doing this, and I didn't pre-order the first wave of Thundercats because I already have the Mattel ones, and they're the same sculpt and everything. So I didn't get on board with those. But I will be doing Wave 2 of that. I will be doing Wave 2 and onward. Because they'll be doing Jaga, they'll be doing the other villains, you know, they'll be doing, you know, that's a small line. There's not a lot of characters to it. They might get it, if they stretch it out, they could probably get 3 years out of it. But with Turtles is a huge property, and they could get long time out of that, a long time. And I think the Turtle stuff just looks amazing. I mean, I'm not like a huge Turtles guy where it, like, defines my childhood, but it easily could because, you know, when we were kids, we were kind of, like, older kids. We were, like, the 10 to 12-year-old range when it got real popular here, me and you growing up in New York together, you and I met, and, you know, we were in, like, fourth grade, but right. It was, like, that's when Turtles fever, like, reached a high with the movies and the cartoon, which is phenomenal, and the toys, which are fantastic, so... I think it's great, and that Baxter Stockman is what sold me. It's like the greatest Baxter Stockman toy that's ever been teased. And that Foot Soldier and the Splinter and everything. Because Playmates tried to come out with those Ninja Turtles Classics figures about 4 or 5 years ago, and they were okay. The Turtles were really nice, but then when they came out with the Bebop and Rocksteady they weren't a huge hit with the fans because the sculpts didn't really capture the likeness of the cartoon mixed with the vintage toys. So that kind of died on the vine. So that really died off. But what Super 7 is doing is great with all those accessories and everything, which is cool. And I'm really sad to see that maybe like Masters is kind of going away. But it'll be back through Mattel, and they got whenever that movie gets, you know, actually they do get a trailer released for it. I'm tired of hearing about fans talking about it. I'm tired of hearing them about their hopes and dreams for it. You should never get that invested, before seeing a film, because you're going to be disappointed and the backlash is huge. When there's a backlash, then there's a cancellation of toy lines. There's a cancellation of merchandise or whatever. And it doesn't help anybody if you're a fan. It just doesn't. So I think you should just kind of stay cool about it.
Did you hear about... you probably have, but maybe this was revealed during San Diego Comic-Con, but I believe there's like a new He-Man cartoon where Kevin Smith is either directing or producing it. And And I believe, was it Pixel Dan? He's providing a lot of reference info to Kevin Smith because he's, I think it's Pixel Dan, one of those guys.
Well, yeah, he got, yeah. Good for Pixel Dan. I'm happy for him. But I've been doing it 10 years. He's really busted his butt to get where he's at. And, I was a fan of his back in 10 years ago when he first got started with Pop Culture Network, and they did a really cool segment, him and Jason Duvall, who I think Jason Duvall's a funny guy too, and he doesn't get a fair shake. That's kind of a shout out to him. I liked what he did with Toy World Order with Flava Dave, and who has a massive collection in and of his own. He's got a huge flag set up, which is great. I will be getting a flag next year, and I will be putting it on the show. We will be doing an in-depth run-through of that playset. Because there's not enough of them, and not good ones, you know. So, we got a lot of cool stuff coming up. I'm actually painting Kit's Dash today. And I'm going to get that Dash put together, and we're going to have that on the show, and we're going to run through that baby. And then I'll be doing a video of where the rest of the car is right now. So, but anyway... Pixel Dan, I've been following that guy for about 10 years, and just kind of see how he's evolved and grown, you know, on his channel and stuff is great. It's an inspiration to me because he has so much enthusiasm, you know, and I like what he's doing. And he's one of the only guys, he has an in with these guys to where he can get, he asks the hard questions, like, okay, what about this? What does this mean for this? Because you're doing this now. And especially with the whole Mattel Super 7 debacle, the information he's been able to get out of this has been great. So tip of the hat to him. But yeah, the Kevin Smith thing, I was like, wow, this guy is really. Kevin Smith was commenting how the reaction they got when they heard Pixel Dan was there. Even he was blown away. He's like, wow, they heard you really, you know, made an impact. So that's cool. And is in regards to the cartoon, and Kevin Smith looks like. Really slim. He looks a lot. He's really lost a lot of weight, and I know he had some health problems. So good on him to stay on track, you know. And it gets harder when you get older, but when you're like an adult as opposed to a kid. But the cartoon's going to take place right after the Filmation one, and I had heard, which is great. They said they're going to stay true to that. Now here's what fans might have an issue with it is the fact they're going a little bit more of an anime. Style, from what I heard, but I don't know that for a fact. You know how pre-development things are. They could always change. They could change their mind. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in the story and kind of where that's going. I'm wondering if it's going to be like Hero, or was it, what's the one, the whole Son of He-Man pitch that never got off the ground? There's a script that was floating out there for that. I wonder if they might actually use that, but I'm not sure. There's actually copies of that floating around, you know. Is it Heroes and He-Man, I think?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that. As far as the animation goes, I think storyline wise, I think we're safe on that because, you know, it's Kevin Smith, and when I figure for somebody like him, when he's really invested in what it is that he's writing about, like that, I think, I guess it's the same case with like any writer or any creative person, but with Kevin Smith, he's got like stinkers every once in a while, but you can tell when he's really invested and really into what he's writing when, you know, like a lot of times the results are, you know, reflect how into it he's in. So I think, as far as storyline goes, I think we're safe. As far as the animation goes, as long as they don't push it towards like that stupid line, like Thundercats Roar or the stupid Ninja Turtle cartoon the way it is right now, as long as it's not pushed in that direction, I think if it was handled more in the way that did the Netflix Voltron series, where
that's fantastic. Deal,
but at the same time, there is enough reverence for the old cartoon where, you know, it wasn't deviate for the sake of just deviation. I think if it's handled that way, I think it's going to be an awesome cartoon.
Well, it sounds like they're not really going to deviate a whole lot from the true feel and storyline of the original. They said they're going to hold true to that. So that's what they said. So I'll hold them to that as a fan. Yeah. So
I think I also read too that they're going to have like dark tones or the darks, you know, darks. Like they're not going to shy away from darker storytelling, I guess. Like it's not going to be like as kid friendly as, well, it will be kid friendly, but they're not going to shy away from like certain things.
Well, the 2002 series was a good balance. The right. Mike Young Productions, that one was good. That one was decent. So,
that should be really good.
Yeah, because I know Mattel. They had a spokesperson for the toys there, you know, at San Diego, and they were talking about like this is just tip of the iceberg. We got all this stuff coming, and I'm sure that there'll be some clearance items available. Because whenever when they did that big Green Lantern retail line that they did, that stuff just clogged the pegs, man. They were just cheaply made. The only stuff that was decent were the Movie Masters, and those were just barely decent. So there was a lot of really cheap junk that came out of that. So yeah. So we'll see what happens. I almost think a pre-order and a more of a Medi collector thing would be better because the toys are going to be a lot better quality. But we'll see what happens. And I think that they're looking to revive a line that really cemented their, you know, legacy in the 80s, and I just hope that they don't protract it so much that it waters it down. And I don't know if I'm going to be getting those or not.
You know, you're a smart man. Who are you trying to kid at this point?
Yeah, well, I'd like to have my Snake Mountain built. I haven't heard any news on that, so, you know, I only ordered it in the spring. You know, I mean,
oh, goodness, man.
And so the question was asked, how's that coming? Oh, it's coming along. It's like, yeah, that's a blow off for nothing's happening, you know. So, and it seems like I'm shouting into the camera. It's because this is how I normally talk. So, I have a big mouth and I'm obnoxious. Thank you. You know, anyway.
Yes, I'm yelling. Yeah. This is how I talk.
Hey,
and Samuel Jackson.
My house is how I talk, you know. It's full volume. It's great. I live in a world made out of cardboard, you know. That's pretty much all I had today, Ponch. Did you have anything you wanted to add before we cut out of here?
Not really. I mean, I could show you like a picture that was taken of me of my costume from last weekend that finally finished.
That'd be great for the viewers/listeners to see that. And again, guys, please, I'm gonna get this posted to the YouTube channel. Please watch our channel. It's just a Case in Point Podcast YouTube channel. Check it out. This video is gonna be on there. I want you to see Ponch's handiwork here because it's really something to see.
Yeah, thanks, man. So just to remind people, I did a Cosmic Ghost Rider cosplay last weekend, and yeah, the reason why I didn't walk the show floor too much to take, you know, my own pictures and stuff was because was trying to finish this in time for Saturday, which I did, but not until like 5 o'clock that day. So I managed to squeeze in like a few hours Friday night, but I did go Sunday and wear it most of Sunday. But
oh, okay.
Yeah, so this is how it turned out. So you can see it, but
oh wow. Wow, dude. That's ridiculous.
So I was pretty pleased with how it came out. I mean, there were certain things that I had to rush just to get it done in time, but
man,
overall I'm happy with how it came out. So
how long did it take you to make that?
A year?
I mean, was it like a year, year and a half, or was it 6 months once you got a concept down, or how you want to do it?
I had the concept down earlier this year, actually, around like April, May, and basically once I had passes purchased for the show, then I went, well, not full tilt, but you know, I started working on it. But it wasn't until the weekend before, basically like two weekends ago, actually mid-September, I would say, where I really started like working almost daily on it. But yeah, initially I started back in June, you know, a day here, a day there, you know, so the timing was more spread out because I didn't want to like, you know, rush to finish it. And I don't want the hope was that I would have more than enough done by the time September came around. So that way I would actually get some sleep to finish it, which wasn't the case. So next year it'd be better time management so I can actually get it done and not miss any days next year. But yeah, I'd say about at least 2 months worth of work on it, maybe a little more than that. Like if you were to take all the time I spent on it and put it together, yeah, about a couple of months. But I didn't do everything I wanted to do on it, like on the eyes, I'll bring the picture up again.
How'd you make those flames? What did you do to make those flames? Because they're actually clear. They're transparent, but they've got the accents of the flames in there.
Well, actually, they're not clear. There's this this thermoplastic material called Warbla, and basically like what it is it's basically a plastic sheet. You get, well, when you purchase it, so you get in like big rolls of stuff. But you could also, like, the sheets come in, like, white, black, this brownish color, and then clear. But
right.
Most of the cool thing about this material is that when you heat it up, all but the black and the clear ones, they become self-adhesive. So instead of using glues to join your pieces,
it pretty much bonds to whatever, yeah.
Yeah, it bonds to itself.
Oh, that's great. So that's awesome.
And it can be pricey, but what's awesome about it is that the skull, for example, I'll zoom in. Can't really see details from this, but the skull was sculpted with scraps. I didn't have to cut like new sheets to mold all the stuff on it.
Look at the wash. The wash you've got on the shoulder pads and the eyes on the chest, I mean, it is just impeccable.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I had
help. That is just ridiculous.
But initially, I wanted to have, like, the eyes on the breastplate to light up.
Did you airbrush that, or how would you do that?
No, it was hand-painted. I just had to...
Oh, man!
Yeah, there was a process to it, but... For next year, I was actually talking to my father about it yesterday. He has a spare airbrush that he's going to give to me so I can use that for next year. Because it'll cut down on time big time because, painting by hand versus airbrushing, time-wise, airbrush is just super fast. And you could also get, like, more natural gradation of color versus trying to do it by hand. I mean, it came out nice the way it was hand painted, but I think with the airbrush it'll be much easier to come across or to make. But
yeah, that's just unbelievable, guys. You got to check out our YouTube channel because you got to see these pictures. It's just ridiculous. Well,
thanks, man.
And
I've also been posting. I'm sorry, man.
No, I just saying. I mean, heck, he started taking orders, you make some money, you know?
Well, that's the hope, man. That's the hope.
Well, I'll tell you what. You can make something for me. How about that? I'll hit you up, man. Once I tell you what it is, you know, I got a few ideas, so I got an, yeah.
So
we'll talk about that offline.
All right. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I've also earlier this year I opened an Instagram account and I've been posting my work in progresses on there, so can sort of see where I've went from like the initial sketches to this, just, you know, what I've been posting this week from pictures I was taking this weekend or last weekend. So I enjoy it, and like the, yeah, it's like the guns, like the guns I made for the costume are super, super light. Like they look like they should be heavy, but I think they're maybe a couple of pounds each at most. But
that's really awesome.
Yeah, so if you guys want to check that out, you can check out what I post on Instagram. Same handle that I have on Twitter, space_dyedvest. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll get that on the podcast page as well, so you guys can check out his handiwork. That's fantastic. Yeah. So we'll probably, there's a lot to come, guys. We're gonna be Ponch and I are gonna join forces here and really get some cool stuff, because I'm really interested in seeing Ponch what you got in the pipes. So that's pretty cool. And so what we'll do is we're gonna wrap it up for now, but I'll probably be, like I said, guesting on another show. Then there'll be a week break because I'm going to be on vacation, but I might still post some content, but maybe some videos of what I'm doing up there. But yeah, that's great. Yeah, I appreciate you, Ponch, for making it today, and it's great that we can kind of be a little more flexible and do an earlier in the day show. So when our minds are fresh, you know. it gets hard, you know, doing some of the later shows like that, because the weekly grind kind of just wears you out. So, thanks again, and thanks everybody for following us on our Twitter and Facebook. We appreciate every single follow we have. So, unless you're like one of those weird bot ones, you'll be taken out. You'll be removed, because I get pinged with those a lot, and I just gone. So, my wife's already calling me. So there's our SOS, people. Time to wrap it up. Anyway, thanks a lot, guys, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah.